Okay, John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 5. Okay, John 8. These are obviously pretty familiar passages. Verse 30. And he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus unto him, to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, Verily, verily I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And then verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this truth about freedom, liberty, and the counterpart, bondage. And I pray you'd help us to keep our personal liberties, to do the right thing, to please you, to be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, of course, this time of year, everybody talks about liberties and freedoms, and freedom is famous word for Americans, and Americans love freedom, but the vast majority don't understand it. They don't understand that freedom is not free. They don't understand the price of how it was paid. They don't really study what the purpose of freedom is. They don't know how or why we became free. It just wasn't an accident. And the thing is we need to discover what the real purpose of freedom is and then use it in the right fashion. In John chapter 8, it's kind of interesting. Of course, in John 8 and in Galatians 5, the freedom he's talking about there is technically not national freedom. It's not talking about living free in a free country, things like that. You can see the context is dealing more with a spiritual freedom, where ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Okay, as far as spiritually speaking, where you have a freedom in Christ. Now, obviously, the contrast in these passages, one side is freedom, the other side of bondage. Now, you never absolutely have complete freedom. Never have that. And you never absolutely have complete bondage. There's no such animal as pure communism. Even in a Marxist or communist society, quote, capitalism will always creep in through the black market or whatnot. And even though they try to control people's thought process, you still can't really control people's thoughts. Paul, when he was standing in front of King Agrippa in Acts 26, had more freedom, bound in chains and, you know, the chains that they had around him, the shackles. He had more freedom than Herod did, sitting on the throne, being the king there. Why? The freedom that he had was in Jesus Christ. You see, so even if somebody took you and bound you up, you know, where you couldn't even move your head and you were all tied in and you were in prison and everything, people say you're bound. Yeah, but you still have freedom in Jesus Christ. They can't control your thoughts. There's never absolutely complete and total bondage, but then the other side of the coin, there's never absolutely complete and total freedom. Now, some folks may not agree with this, but, you know, we have a thing where, you know, the drug war and all that stuff, I could care less if they had them all free. Legal, illegal, legalizing marijuana, I could care less. Why don't they make liquor illegal? They tried that. Didn't work. You see? People get hooked on illegal drugs like they do legal drugs. What difference does it make? I mean, we broadcast it where you have a drug store. How come one has a drug store, can sell it, because the government can make taxes off it, but you see, the ones that make the big money, like the CIA and off the drug market, they want drugs to stay illegal because it pays them more. Several years ago, there's a fellow that lived in Kansas. His dad was a bootlegger. That's where it should be, but you know, if you want to. But his dad was a bootlegger, and his dad would go to the local Baptist church and give a donation to the Baptist church so that Baptist church would keep preaching against liquor. And the kid said, "I don't understand that, Dad. I thought we were bootleggers. I thought we made money off liquor." He said, "Exactly right. We make more money when it's illegal than if it would become legal. And so we want to encourage these people so that they keep preaching against it, so we have a dry county, so that we can make more money when the county's dry than when it's not." Same thing's going on in the drug war. I oppose drugs. I think a person's dope when they put dope in their body. Especially if you grew up in a church like this, you are not dealing with a full deck. You cannot deal with life. You're a little, measly, little mouse, a wimp. That's what you are. You can't deal with life. "Oh, I'm going to put this in my body." You see? That's what you're dealing with. Okay, but this idea of freedom. Freedom is a byproduct of right living. Jesus Christ said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you don't know the truth, then you don't have the freedom. The opposite of the freedom is bondage. Faith and freedom are inseparable twins. Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth," faith, "and the truth shall make you free," freedom. They're inseparable twins. You cannot get away from either one. They are together. Now, when the faith is pure, the freedom will be given out to all. It'll be prosperous. If the faith is the faith of a tyrant, then the freedom will be given out to select groups, the ones that approve of the tyrant. Saudi Arabia, they have a freedom of worship. It's right in their laws. So union has the same thing. You can have free exercise of your religion, but they just don't give them a choice to choose from. In Saudi Arabia, what's your choice? You can go to this mosque, or this mosque, or this mosque, or this mosque. That's it. No Lutheran, no Presbyterian, no Baptist, no Congregational, no nothing. It's a freedom from choice rather than a freedom of choice. Now, we have a freedom in our country. What's that a result of? Now, you know, most everybody knows here that the reason why we have the freedoms we have in our country is a direct result, a byproduct of the influence of Christianity at the beginning of this nation. Now, people try to tell you in a history class that all that, you know, the founding fathers were deists. Maybe so, maybe not, but Christianity had a major influence in the founding of this country. Now, anybody that doesn't know that has not read. The Article 22 of Delaware, the first state of the 13, said, Article 22, in order to be an elected official, you had to sign an oath that you believed that God was a father, Jesus Christ was his son, that the scriptures were inspired in the Old and New Testament. That was just to get on a ballot to be an elected official, Article 22 of Delaware. South Carolina put in their constitution that Christianity is the, they put Protestant, made sure they got that across. Protestant Christianity is the established religion of this state. I mean, you can't get away from that. Anybody that doesn't know that has not read. They have not studied. They got the blinders on. You see, and this is a direct result. The article, the first amendment on the Bill of Rights, the free exercise of religion, that is a direct result of the state of Rhode Island, where a fellow named Roger Williams believed in soul conscience. He got booted out of Massachusetts and that area because The hyper-Calvinists, the Calvinists didn't like what he was saying. He believed in soul conscious. That they didn't like that. Well, you have a right to worship God freely. Calvinists don't want to believe that. You know, you got Protestant popes, you got Catholic popes. Plus, he said you had no right to take the land from the Indians, you have to pay for it. I agree with both those. And so they, and then he had to leave that area, and he went down to an area, eventually established what is known as Providence, Rhode Island. Five people went with him, and there's where the First Baptist Church, and people who studied the colonies, the 13 colonies, said that Rhode Island was the freest of all of them. In matter of religious faith, you can go in there and worship a tree if you want. You see, that's freedom. And that's where that stemmed from back those in those days. Now, we have freedoms in Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 8. I find it kind of interesting. Back in John chapter 8, those guys said, we are not in bondage to any man. You talk about somebody's not dealing the full deck. Do you know the history at that time? Israel were subjects under Rome at that moment. They had to pay high taxes to Caesar at that moment. They were slaves. They were servants. Then Jesus Christ switched it there and said that you are a servant to sin. Now, in our culture right now, people are advertising their slavery. All the body piercing, all the earrings, that is an outward evidence. Hey, I'm a slave. I'm a slave. I'm a slave to somebody. Now, I don't know how they can have more than one earring, but they got a bunch of them, so they must have multiple masters. And certainly not themselves. But when you have liberty, there's always going to be a tyrant that wants to take it from you. And we have liberty in Jesus Christ, Romans 8, verse 21. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. We have liberty in Jesus Christ. Liberty to do what? Liberty to say no to sin. Liberty to say yes to Jesus Christ. The faith of tyrants results in spiritual bondage. The faith of Christ results in spiritual liberty. Psalm 119, verse 45 says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. One of the first times I heard a preacher quote that from the pulpit was some guy in Pennsylvania, went there to visit. He knew I was at Hiles Anderson. He graduated from Liberty University. And he mockingly said from the pulpit, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You know, I didn't know Jerry Falwell from a tree. And that guy, you know, applied that to his college. When you study Liberty University, it used to be Liberty Baptist University, but he took that off the marquee. When you study that, their bondage, they are in bondage to the Alexandrian manuscripts. I mean, man, anybody can see that. But you see, liberty is when you spend time in a book. That's where you get your freedoms. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. This passage is still, to this day, written every day on the front page of the Indianapolis Star. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, that idea of liberty also brings in an idea of what we call rugged individualism. You have your individual rights. You are individually unique with God. And what you're seeing taking place in America, socialists always will try to group people in groups. The minorities. Who are the minority? The blacks, you know, the Mexicans, or Hispanic, the Jews, and the gays. Now, if I was black or Hispanic, that would bother me. You're born black, you're born Mexican, you're born Jew, but you ain't born gay. That is a choice. Now, whenever these people, you see what they're doing is they're putting people in groups. Don't let them put you in a group. You're an individual. An individual black man should have his rights. As a black man, he's got his rights under the Constitution. He ought to exercise that. You're saying, well, somebody judges me, it comes kind of my skin. Oh, get off it. Little sissy. People will figure that out with time. Your character, your name will be made known. People will know that. If people can't figure it out, you're just dealing with somebody that don't got a, you know, a sense that God gave a brass monkey. Consider the source. It doesn't matter. You see, don't let them put you in a group. You are an individual. You and God make up a majority. You see, and so what they're doing is they're trying to put people in a corporate body so that you lose your individual rights. That's what democracy does. 51% controls the 49%. A republic is that everybody is uniquely different. And what these people are talking about, trying to get, you know, equal social justice, equal rights, they're not looking for equality. They're looking for special privileges. That's what they're going for. And they're never going to get away from that. The Bible says that when you try to go to princes to get equality or equity, that is not good. In Proverbs 17, verse 26. Now, we have liberty in Jesus Christ. Where did the liberties come from in our country? It came directly as a result of this book. If you would, look in Deuteronomy chapter 8. When the faith is pure, when the faith is consistent, the freedom, the liberties will be equal to all. When the faith is the faith of a tyrant, then the liberties will be given to the ones who agree with the tyrant, and that's it. Now, when you read down through Deuteronomy chapter 8, this is a prophecy that God gave to Moses, who gave to Israel. And basically, he's saying, now, when you get into this land, this is going to be a good land. And when you read down through there, and when you read, like, verse 7, 8, 9, when you read down through there, and if you're thinking of the hymn book, you could probably think of America the Beautiful. Right when you read those verses, land of wheat, mountains, purple mountains, majesty, blah, blah, blah. You can read that. Now, where did they get this prosperity? Where have we gotten our liberties, our freedom in this country? If you don't know where we got it from, how can you retain it? You can't retain it. If you don't realize the source of your liberties, your freedoms, you will lose them. And the source is in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. What precedes all these great blessings? He says at the end of the verse, that he might know, make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone or only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. There's the source, the word of God itself. That is the source for this country. The first public act that Congress back in the 1700s published was to have a Bible published. And the Bible they had published was a King James Bible. When this country honored Jesus Christ and his word, that's when God gave this country liberty and freedom as a byproduct. Then, when man has that freedom, he will go out and flap his wings and he will do something. What will he do? Well, verse 6, 7, 8, 9, when he has all these natural resources, he can get wealth. Verse 18, he says, thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. But when you read down through that, pick up verse 11. When you have this liberty, this prosperity, he tells us three times, don't forget me. Why? Because that is the natural thing, to forget God. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Now, you got the freedom, what can you do with it? You want three things. If you got freedom, like you have freedom in our country, you can live for yourself and sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says about your liberty. In Galatians 5, verse 13, this is one thing. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. When he makes that statement, evidently, that means you can use your freedom to live for yourself and live for sin. It's right there in front of us. Yeah, you can get drunk. You can get drunk. It's legal to get drunk. Stay in your house, get drunk. You can stay in your house and do a lot of things. Be a pervert. Stay in your house. These are ways to live according to the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth through the Spirit shall reap or reap life everlasting." Okay, if you use your freedoms to live according to the flesh, you will end up a corrupt individual. Michael Jackson discovered that wax and plastic doesn't mix with the body. And all the drugs that the thing has taken, whatever it is, you know, will you take it, whatever you're trying to be? I mean, he is the actual product of what the public school has been teaching for years. And you got a bunch of low-life, brain-dead, hundreds and thousands of people that want to go to his funeral. You see? It's just people living according to the flesh. They're going to reap corruption. What is the intentions of the incorruption? The corruption. God intends it that way so that the transgressor tries to come to his senses. The way of the transgressor is hard. Why does God do that? A person lives according to their flesh. They think they're getting away with stuff. Then all of a sudden, boom, a disease hits them. AIDS. AIDS is not God's curse. That's God's blessing. What's that designed to do? That is designed to wake somebody up. But a lot of people don't wake up. You know, get arrested. Hopefully get behind bars and you think for a while that something is not going right. It's not working. I mean, it's not as fun as I thought it was. You know, on the way going over to church this morning, just had a radio on real quick and it just said, "Would you like to live like the Hollywood?" Not in your life would I like to live like them. Drugs, sorrow, unhappiness. You see, the secular crowd, they say, well, you have to have the Bible, you have to have religion per se, because it's like a crutch in life. You can't really deal with life, you know, because so that's why you go to religion. That's why you go to drugs, because you can't deal with reality. I don't want to face reality in life, so I'm going to get high, man. And you can't even talk right. You did. Wow, man, it's totally wild. I mean, their brain is done fried. I mean, drugs and their music. Oh, isn't it just wild? And their booze, fornication, perversion. Dope is for dopes. They can't deal with life. You see, to take a drug to make your body, oh, I want to feel good and all that kind of stuff. They're not dealing with full deck. You know, the sins of Sodom. What leads up to the sins of Sodom? Ezekiel chapter 16 lays it out for us. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Now, when we talk about sodomy, most people understand we're dealing with queers. But what leads up to that? Ezekiel 16, verse 49. You see, Americans are too soft. They're spoiled. You got to find out that there's tougher places in the world to live than this country. And we have the freedoms, and people are taking these freedoms that they have, living according to sin, according to their light, their perversion, and then they can't figure out when things are going wrong. Figure it out. God's trying to get your attention. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Here's the sins of Sodom. "Behold, this is the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride." There's the problem. Pride. "Fullness of bread, too much to eat. Abundance of idleness." Idleness is the devil's workshop. And the last one is, "Abundance of idleness was in her, and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy." Four sins that precede the perversion is pride, abundance of idleness, fullness of bread, plenty to eat, and they don't help out poor folk. This is a bondage to the flesh. People are bound to their sin.
I can remember in high school. When I was in high school, we had a smoking block. I appreciated the smoking block. I didn't go out to the smoking block, but oh, did I get a chuckle out of them nuts going out there when it was 20 degrees, and they got to go out there and it's raining. They're out there. I got freedom. I got freedom. Oh, what a joke. It kept the bathrooms clean. Then they passed a law, well, you can't do that. They're on minors. They can't be out in the smoking block. And then it pulled all into the bathrooms. And I'm thinking, you're a slave to a little tobacco. You know, and kids boasting something, I can hold a case of beer. And I'm thinking, how much does it weigh? I could probably pick it up too. I'm tough, man. I can have some beer. Oh, man, that really is manhood. You see some guys at a stoplight, they tromp on it. I'm tough. Oh, that really takes a lot of practice to push down an accelerator, doesn't it? I mean, real manhood. But that's what people put as manhood nowadays. You see? And the thing is you could burn your money up in cigarettes and in dope and booze and in your music and all that. Burn your money up, and what do you got for the end of it? I know this guy down in Rensselaer off and on, every so often he may come across my path. The guy has lived a life of booze and cigarettes and dope. And he's probably kicking 55 or even up 60. What has he got to show for his life? In a land of the free, what has he got to show for? A smoke-infested little room that he has to rent. Got nothing to show for. He's burned it all up. Any money he had, he burned it up in cigarettes, burned it up in booze, burned it up in drugs. What has he got to show for? Nothing. Got nothing to show for. You see, a person can do that. And they're just slaves of their sin. The second thing a person can do with freedom is they can live for good things. I mean, constructive things. Things that make life better. A job, a career, raise a family. And some would say make the world a better place to live. I don't know about that. It's going down to hell in a handbasket anyway. But still, that's some good things. At least it's constructive. Where living according to the flesh is destructive. But at least it's got some constructive things. The big thing in America is trying to attain financial security. Oh, if you invest in this and invest in that, invest in this, you can attain financial security. What is that doing? It's trying to overthrow the punishment God laid on Adam. The punishment God laid on Adam was that you are going to sweat it out. That's a punishment on sin. And you see, that's not a bad thing because it keeps you busy. And when you got to sweat it out, it keeps you closer to God. You see, and the Bible says if you trust your bank account, you ain't too bright. You see, but the idea is that when you got to sweat it out, you are staying close to your God, and that's what keeps you out of trouble. Now, when I went through high school, I'd hear about the kids, the young people in school, saying, going to this party and go to this party and go to this party and all that stuff. I have to tell you that I did not go to one party when I was in high school. Now, it wasn't because of my wonderful character. It wasn't because I was so spiritual. It's because that man over there had me working. And boy, that kept me out of trouble. And by chance I'd come home late, his method of fixing that was to get me up extra early the next morning. I kind of thought that was the opposite of the way it should work. If I got home late, I should be able to get up, right? But, that fixed it. And the next night I was in bed rather early without being told to go in bed. But what kept me out of trouble was I had to work. Get out in the field, pull weeds, get on that tractor. And so, I can remember when I was in seventh grade, we had a whole week off for spring break, a whole week off. And I came back as burnt to a crisp all the kids, "Where'd you go? Where'd you go?" I said, "I went to the back 40. Kept track of my hours. I worked 63 hours that week. Burnt to a crisp. I thought, "Oh, you must have went to Florida." I said, "Yeah, I went to Florida." I worked. Thank God for that work.
Thank God for that. That's what God does to you and I. You see, the work is what keeps us out of trouble. Abundance of idleness is what gets them in trouble. You see? And then you have the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life. You can use your freedom to live for good things, and that's not wrong. But there's a step up on this. What is the real purpose of freedom? If freedom is a byproduct of the scriptures and obeying Jesus Christ, then the purpose of freedom is to use it to glorify that God. Use the freedoms you have to please Him. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Now, in this country, the one faith that is constantly maligned, that's constantly attacked by government authorities and the media, is Christianity. Biblical Christianity. You can say Allah, you can say Buddha, you can cuss Jesus Christ, but you can't say anything good about Jesus Christ at the United Nations. You can't talk about Jesus Christ at AA. You can't talk about Jesus Christ publicly as a government official. You can quote the Quran. You might even on occasion quote a Bible passage to make yourself look good, just as long as it doesn't cross or offend anybody else. But as soon as you mention Jesus Christ, that's out. And when they boot Jesus Christ out totally of this country, then your freedoms are gone too. Because He is the reason for them. So if He is the purpose of our freedom, then we should use those freedoms to glorify Him. If you would, look in 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, verse 15. The purpose of freedom is to please God. That's when you use it the right way. If you don't use it the right way, you will lose it. 1 Peter 2, verse 15. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians. What that tells you and I is that means you have the liberty to do the right thing. You still do have liberty in this country to pass out a gospel tract. Use it while you have the chance. You still have liberty in this country to worship God freely. You have liberty in this country to stay home on Sunday, not go to church, not worship God. Oh, I could worship God at home. Yeah, right. Tell me about it. I'm sure you do. Yeah. You know, all sorts of Americans home, you know, I come up here, saw a guy washing his car. Yeah, he's got the freedom to do that. Live for self. But when Jesus Christ takes it from him, he ain't got freedom to do that. You have freedom to worship Jesus Christ right now. John 4, 24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, the last time we had a revival in this country when the churches were packed out, I mean, the churches, good churches were packed out, was the Depression. That was the last time we had a revival. This time around, when the Depression went, when the bankers call for it, and it is all orchestrated, it can happen any time when you got fiat currency, when they call for it, I don't expect them to show up at this church. They'll be going to the prosperous churches. The Rick Warren types, you know, the Joel Osteen. That guy looks like a fruit. Been in a beauty parlor. They'll go there. That's where they'll go. And the Lord allow them to be deceived some more. They won't learn. Not this time around. Americans had character in the 1930s. They don't got it now. They got no character now. I mean, for Americans to go to this Michael Jackson thing is just beyond me. I mean, it's just phenomenal. But you see, people will pray to God when they get desperate, and God may or may not hear them. You see, it's amazing. God does these things to get our attention because we often forget Him. We got a dog down there, and I think that dog got part chicken in him. I think that dog got part cat in him, too, because you call a cat, it won't come.
And sometimes when I call that dog, he won't come. Duke, Duke, Duke! He won't come. I mean, when he feels like it, he'll come. And fireworks, he is scared to death of these fireworks. I mean, a couple years back, after Sebastian died, we had not a clue that that dog was scared of fireworks. He never really made manifest of it, you know, while Sebastian around. I guess he hugged the dog, Sebastian, when the fireworks were going off. But after Sebastian died, I saw something was trying to chew in to get in our house. Come 4th July, he had bitten, chewed the frame around the lower portion of that sliding door in the back and the porch and all the way across. If you look at it now, you can see we touched it up, painted it, but I was amazed he did not break that door down. You can see the paw prints on it. You can see the paw prints on the front door where he busted the screen. You can see the where we had left the door, the window open in the kitchen. He had jumped through the screen. And we got home that night, he was sitting in the house. I mean, he part chicken. But he hates them fireworks. But boy, when he comes, you know, I like it when he's right beside me. Last night, that dog would not leave my sight. I mean, he stayed right. I'm sitting on a computer, and he's laying right there. I went up to bed, followed me right up to bed, laid right beside my bed. I'm trying to sleep, and he goes, roof. He has a certain bark where he kind of trying to get our attention, you know, or he's scared, or he wants out. And so I'm trying to sleep. I said, shut up, dog! Quiet. Finally, he quieted down. I get up this morning, he's laying downstairs. And you know what I thought about that? That's what God does to you and I. When we get scared, who do we go to? He wants us right beside him. That's what he wants. And that's what the Lord does. You know, if you have a child that wanders off in a store, maybe a 3-year-old or something like that, 4-year-old child, where they just start wandering off, you know how you can fix them? Let them wander off. Never lose sight of them. Don't put a dog leash on your little kid. That has got to be the most dumbest thing I've ever seen. You ever seen it got a little leash under a kid? Oh, stupid. But let the little guy or little girl wander off, but never lose sight of them. Don't let them see you. Never lose sight of that child. You can't trust anybody these days. But when the thought percolates in their little mind, mama, they realize they don't know where mama's at. Don't let them see you right away. Let them panic. And when you're about ready to see that beller, you know, when they get that screaming, when you're about ready for that, then step out and let them see you. I guarantee you that child will stay right by your side the rest of the time without being asked, without being told. You know the Lord does that to you and I? He'll take freedom away from us, give us the leadership we deserve. Why? So we draw closer to him. We don't even have to ask. He don't have to ask. We'll be right there begging him to help us, begging him to draw close to us. The Lord said, you know, I kind of like that. You know, we have liberties in this country. You ought to use them while you can. Go street preaching. You know, stand on a street corner and use the opportunity you have. You may say, well, you know, from the stories I've told, it sounds like you're just getting made fun of and everything. That's good for your flesh. Keeps your flesh down. And besides, you and I don't know how God works. He promised his word will not return void. You say, yeah, but I haven't seen much fruit about that. Haven't seen much fruit knocking on doors either, do you? How's knocking on doors go? Nobody's home. Nobody's home. I would like to tell you, I got my own church. Well, you know, oh, I'm a Christian. You are? Where do you go? Oh, I go to the nice church. Knocking on next door. Nobody's home. Next door. Oh, next door. Oh, I'd just like to give you some from our church. I'm not interested. Okay, next door. I'd like to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. Nah, got here. You know, that's knocking on doors today. When you go to church, oh, I go to the Rolling Stones church. You know, we got one down in DeMott. It's a rock and roller church. They've been sending out postcards, ditchchurch.com. That's their website, ditchchurch.com. You know, I met one of them clowns. I'm thinking, oh, bro, that's what door knocking's going on. You say, ain't much getting done. Exactly right. But we still do it. Street preaching, I say you got more work going on because they hear the word. And by the time they hear it, it got in. And that word gets in. And then God uses that word as he wishes. He uses that word either to bring them under conviction, to get them right, or to cut their throat to make them more wrong. And that's the purpose of it. You see? And we got those liberties yet, and we ought to keep using them while we can. Pass out tracts, you still have the liberties to do that. You see, God's word will not return void. Street preaching reveals the pulse of the community. That's what it does. You're in the front lines. That's where the real battle is taking place. Right there is when you're in the front line dealing with these kids. Now, obviously, at Purdue, you get more action where, you know, the stoplight's a little bit different, but still the word of God is going out. And we have those freedoms, those opportunities to witness for Jesus Christ. In the Soviet Union day, when they couldn't say anything to anybody, and some of the Christians, the only way they could try to get the message out about Jesus Christ is they'd stand by a store where people would walk by. A person walked by, they'd say, "Oh, Jesus saves." And a person said, "Did you say something?" "Who? Who, me?" "No, I didn't say anything." They just had, that was their way of witnessing. They couldn't go any further with it. And they'd wait for a few more minutes, and then they just, someone would walk by, "Jesus saves." And the person would look around, "Did you say that?" "Say what? What are you talking about?" You see, that was the only way. Now you can just get right out there and say it. You can say it for Jesus Christ, to glorify him. And the reason to do it is to glorify Jesus Christ, to be a blessing to him. You know, the Lord in heaven looks down and says, "Look at that nut down there. He's making a fool out of himself for me." Yeah, I kind of like that. I wonder if some of these sports players revel in these nuts at these stadiums. "Look at that nut. He's got his face painted red on this side and blue on this side. What for? Just to yell and scream at me to put a ball in a hoop." But we got a God in heaven we could make a fool out of ourselves for. And we got the liberty to do it. And he'll get a kick out of it. You see? What is our freedoms for? Our freedoms are for to glorify Jesus Christ. And if our freedom is used incorrectly, it will be lost. It will be lost. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray, help us to glorify thee and thank you for the freedoms that you have given us. Wonderful freedoms. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to use the freedoms that we have to glorify you. Yes, we can also use the freedoms to do some good things, some constructive things in life, and I pray we'd also do that. Yes, we can use the freedoms we have to live according to the flesh. And Lord, I pray that a person will realize that when you live according to the flesh, you are destroying yourself and the ones around you that love you and care for you. Lord, I just pray you'd help us to draw close to thee and use the freedoms that we have to glorify you and to be a blessing to you. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano plays, the altar's open. The Lord told them Jews, "Beware that you don't forget me." He told those Jews, he says, "Remember that the power to get wealth, that I am the one that gives you the power to get wealth." The freedoms we have in our country, don't forget where they came from. And worship that God that gave them to us freely. Glorify him and exercise our liberties to please him. Lord, thank you for the freedoms you've given this country. And Americans are so deceived, they almost demand you to bless this country. Lord, I ask that you would possibly have mercy and pardon this country. I don't know if you're going to do it, but Lord, if you do choose to take most of the freedoms away from this country, we still have freedoms in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to thee and to serve thee faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.